I pray that the grace of God is walking with you through this corona world that we find ourselves in, and that you continue to find the peace and the grace and the love and the care of God walking with you through the passage of his life. God is gracious to each one of us, and I pray today that he will also walk with you and will speak to you even as he has ministered to me. And you've been in our thoughts and prayers through the course of this week. The world, as we knew it 3 weeks ago, has completely changed. Our freedoms, our way we move, our ability to discharge business as usual is completely upended, and that has also affected how we do church. And as I reminded you at Sabbath school, the building may be closed, but our church is still open for business. And we'll continue to discharge our ministries as the Lord continues to lead us and guide us through this moment. Let's pray together as we get into his word. Our Father in heaven, one more time this Sabbath day, we are thankful you have given us the opportunity to gather through this medium, telemedium, to be able to worship you. We thank you that even in this platform, Lord, you have consecrated this place, and now at this hour, it continues to be a holy space as it has been through Sabbath school. And now we pray, Lord, that you will one more time descend with the power of your Holy Spirit and touch each one of us. We're somewhere. Each one of us, one way or the other, is impacted by what's going on all around us. We just need a word from you. May you now minister to us as we walk through this passage this morning. May you walk with us. May you bless our hearts. And may we say truly we've been in the presence of your God, of our God, even as we walk through and we hear your voice. As always, Lord, I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Christ and allow all eyes to remain fixed on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A virus has come to town, and it has disrupted our lives upside down. How can we, the body of Christ, meet and discharge our responsibilities when the coronavirus closes our churches, asks Brian Flanagan. This virus is spreading like wildfire because, like all successful viruses, it has found a way to exploit a good part of who we are. It has found a way to hijack our social nature. COVID-19 is hijacking the basic good of closeness and community, and thus disrupting the very nature of how we operate as a community of faith. Have you found yourselves, my brothers and sisters, in the last few days, stopping just before you embrace? Have you caught yourself awkwardly resisting a handshake or a hug? Or if you are like me, have you felt how unnatural it is for us to hold back bodily expressions of our relationship, which fundamentally redefines the very nature of our Christianity? Flanagan points out that one thing unnerving about this virus is that it can feel like our bodies are betraying us. Assembling for church, which constitutes becoming the body of Christ with people, with the people we love, now carries the risks for ourselves and for others. Receiving that hug, handshake, embrace, or even gathering together for fellowship is now potentially dangerous. I've taken a lot of time to reflect. And to be truthful and candidly honest, the way I'm experiencing this virus is that it's come straight from the pits of hell. It challenges everything I am about being part of the family of God. In order to mitigate its spread and limit its catastrophic path, we must continue to practice social distancing, shelter in place when advised, and exercise the best hygienic practices. But as we live each day with grace, I will continue to depend on the leading of my God and faith through Christ, my Lord, as I share his word through this new journey that we find ourselves in. One of the things as I was reflecting this week, what to share and how to share, is to wonder, God, I can't see you through this. The fog is getting thicker every day. The numbers are getting exponentially too uncomfortable for me. In fact, this disease now is starting to hit closer to home, because now I start to see my families, with our families within the Adventist community, getting impacted. We have a few people who have tested positive with this very disease. And therefore, it is not far off. It's not in the faraway places for other people. It's right here in the home. Is there a word from the Lord that will give us comfort during this time? Fanny Crosby was born in Putnam County, New York, on March 24, 1820. At the age of 6 weeks, she lost her eyesight. Because a country doctor applied mustard pulse dyes to her eyes. Her father died shortly afterwards, but these difficulties did not affect her disposition. At the age of 8, she wrote the song, "Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people do not. To weep and sigh because I am blind, I cannot and I will not." One of her advantages was that she was able to write undisturbed by outside distractions. She possessed a gift of rhyming and an acute memory. In the latter years, she married a blind musician, Alexander van Altesin, but their only child died in infancy. Her husband died in 1883. Between 1853 and 1858, she wrote 20 songs which became very popular. In 1864, Fanny devoted her talent to writing Christian hymns and songs. She prayed before each composition. Fanny Crosby wrote at least 9,000 hymns. Fanny died peacefully at Bridgeport, Connecticut on February 12, 1915. If I was to title a message I'm to share with you today, is reliable help when God shows you his back. Reliable help when God shows you his back. If you have your Bible, let's turn back to the book of Exodus chapter 33, the passage we had just read, Courtney just read for us. And I want to continue with that passage, beginning with verse 18 to 23. Exodus 33, 18 to 23. And I'd like to read in your hearing from verse 8, from the New Living Translation. Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." These words were spoken under the shadow of great sin. Moses has been up on the mountain of God with God for 40 days. Israel turns and rebels against God. The Israelites collaborate with Aaron to make a golden calf in Exodus 32. Sin has now separated the community from God. Being quarantined at home is a form of isolation even for us. Not a religious isolation, but it's a form of isolation. And for many of us, it is a drastic change in our daily lives. But it is far more painful and disastrous if we are isolated from God. God withdraws from the community because if he is near, he will consume them. For their good, it is better not to be there. God promised to send his angel, but he himself will not be in their midst. It is into this situation that Moses steps as a crucial intercessor. Moses loves Israel. They may not appreciate it, but he is willing to lay down his life for them. Moses speaks with God. And this is what Moses says. You told me to lead. Now tell me who will be with me. Moses argues from his own relationship with God. Israel has broken her relationship with God. You say that you know me by name, and I have found favor with you. Moses is saying, in effect, Lord, you said all these good things about our relationship. Did you mean it? I want to ask you today, are you in a position where you can intercede on behalf of our community? Are you in a position where people may be crushed in the crutches of even this virus? Are you able to go to God and talk to God on the basis of your relationship with him? Moses comes and argues for Israel on behalf of not them, but his relationship with God. They have separated themselves from God as a result of sin. But someone is standing in the gap. And I pray today that someone in our church is standing in the gap of somebody. And I pray somebody is standing in the gap for me and somebody is standing in the gap for you. Because we need someone this day to intercede on our behalf during these times of trial. Moses says, you say you love me. You say you know me. You say I have found favor in your eyes. These things you say, do you really mean what you say? If so, teach me thy ways. Show me what you are really going to do in this situation. This feels like deja vu. It feels like the same question we're asking. We're compounded by what's going on around us. The professionals do not know what to do. They're trying to figure it out as they're going. The politicians are trying to figure it out as they're going. Everybody is grappling with this situation. And therefore, all of us feel like we're in this free fall. We feel like we're in a plane where the pilot and the captain are out of their seat. They're sitting in the back seat with us, and the plane is tumbling towards the ground. Someone needs to stand in the gap. Teach me thy ways. This is interesting how Moses approaches God in the context of isolation and separation. Show me what you are really going to do. The world has been brought to her knees. This coronavirus has seemingly taken control of our life. Show me what you are going to do. Exodus 33, verse 12 to 14 is what Courtney just read for us. And it just simply says, let me read that again, just for brevity here. One day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land. But you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your way so I may understand more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you. Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine with you. I'll come back to that very last passage and what God is saying there. Moses intercedes on behalf of Israel on the basis of his relationship with Yahweh. God is unpredictable in his dealings with us. Like Moses, there are times we want assurance that God will go with us, especially during this crisis we find ourselves in. We have plunged into something that we've never been before. We're walking paths that we've never walked before. We don't know what the outcome of tomorrow will be. If he has found favor from the Lord, then Moses implores the Lord to go with him. And I pray today that we'll continue to have the testimonies we have and ask the Lord to go with us. Yes, there is separation. The disease is even separating how we gather together. The very essence of the core of who we are as Christians is fellowship and gathering together and giving each other hugs and just loving each other and caring for each other and fellowshipping in close quarters. That very thing is what this virus has gone after. Therefore, we cannot be able to gather in that form. But God has to tell us how to go. This is why we are going to intercede. Lord, show me your way. Show me what you are going to do during this time. If I have found favor from the Lord, then go with me. Will you go with me? But the Lord's answer is equally baffling. Remember that last passage I just read with you for you, verse 14? The Lord replies and says, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you, Moses, rest. Everything will be fine for you, Moses. That is baffling. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. God promises to go with Moses alone and give him rest alone. But what about God's people? Moses presses on. If your presence will not go with us, do not send us out. Moses wants to make sure that the presence includes his God's people. God's people may not be sometimes easy people to deal with, but we are called by God to love God's people. Moses has the opportunity now to cut his losses and go off with God and say, God, you have promised you will go with me. I will take that. I will take that deal. No. Moses looks down the mountain. He knows things have gone really wrong. But Moses sits there with a lot of love and with a lot of care and with a lot of compassion. And he says, no, if you are not going with us, not me, if you are not going with us, then do not send us out. We are not going out there. Moses wants to make sure that the presence of God includes the people. That's when Moses seeks to reestablish his relationship with God. Then Moses said, now, on that basis, show me your glory. Show me your glory, O God. Let me see you completely. I need to know you more intimately. It is more than physical view. Lord, show me your glory. Lord, I need to see you coming. Show me your glory. I need to see you in my crisis. Show me your glory. I need to know that you will be there through my sickness. Show me your glory. Lord, I'm a healthcare worker, and tomorrow I must rise up and I must go into the front lines of this battle. I must deal with this disease that we cannot see, this enemy we are fighting that we cannot see. Lord, show me your glory. Lord, I have to go to the store. I don't know who I will run into the store. I don't know who has it out there. Lord, show me your glory. I cannot go by myself. Show me your glory. We ought to be like Moses. We get to a point where our relationship is no longer superficial or casual with God. We want to have a deep relationship with God on the basis of how God knows us. Lord, we need to see your glory. We need to see you. We need to see you coming in our crisis. We need to know that you are there. We may not see in the fog of the crisis, but we need to feel your presence in us. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. I need to know that you will be there through my sickness. Show me your glory. I need to know what will happen to me tomorrow. We all find ourselves here. Show me your glory. We would like to see that sickness coming. Perhaps we will be better prepared. We need to see that accident coming. I need a prophetic venue. I need to know your predictability. I need to figure you out, Lord. Show me your glory. But the Lord says, you cannot see my face. You cannot see my full glory. In the Torah, God's glory, Daksa, is characterized by three features. It is a mass experience, which is distant from the observers, such as when God came down the mountain and the mountain was quaking, the mountain was on fire, there was earthquake over, but God was all the way up there on the mountain and only Moses could approach that glory. God initiates the manifestation and freely chooses the time and the place. So Moses here is pleading for an exclusive individual experience, one that is close at hand and one that occurs in response to his personal request. Let me see your glory. God, however, says this in the passage we read, verse 21 to 23, the same passage, Exodus 33. Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. Moses asked to see God's glory. Maybe today in your personal life, you would like to see God's glory. Today, we as a community of faith, cloistered and restricted in our movement and our ability to assemble, need to see the glory of God. Maybe today you want a realistic experience with God. God says that he will show Moses his goodness and proclaim his name. His face, however, he cannot see. You see, my friends, to see God's face or glory means death. As our bodily eye is dazzled and its power of vision destroyed by looking directly into the brightness of the sun, so would our whole nature be destroyed by the unveiled sight of the brilliancy of the glory of God. We cannot just see the glory of God. So long as we are clothed in this body, we cannot see the glory of God. But when this mortal shall be changed into immortality, when this corrupt body shall be changed, when we have become like God and have been transformed into the divine nature, then we shall see him as he is. Then we shall see his glory without a veil and live before him forever and ever. Until then, we must see his glory through faith. God told Moses, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by." Even though I need to see God coming, God says, you cannot handle it. If I told you what your boss will do to you, you cannot handle the truth. If I told you about that accident about to happen, can you handle that truth? You will be worried and anxious all day. You need to trust me. You need to rest in the holiness of God. I'm going to willingly blind you. I will show you my back. I cannot show you the things that are coming. If you know everything, you will not leave tomorrow. My relationship with you will be retrospective. Blindness is more scary. I will hide you in the rock. The rock will hold you steady. After the crisis, you will know I was there. After the pain, you will know that I sustained you in the calamity. In the midst of the pain, you will see my face and my glory. In the midst of your joy, you will see my glory. When you make it through and somehow no one knows how you made it, you will see my hand and you'll know I was there. The rock will hold you steady. The rock will shield you. Jesus will hide you and you will see my goodness. Your relationship with me will be through Jesus Christ. The glory of God is revealed fully through Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. Brothers and sisters, we're going through very difficult times. No one none of us have been through this before. And because we're going through these times, more than ever, we need to rest on the cleft of his rock. More than ever, we need to depend on Jesus Christ, our Savior. More than ever, we need him to lead us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he has cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. So I close with this word of encouragement. When I went through this passage again, I realized, yes, I may not be able to understand what's going on all around me. I may not have all the answers for my members when they ask questions about the situations we're in. I may not be able to answer my grandson or the children that I encounter what's happening, but I have this one thing. The Lord has placed me on a rock, on the cleft of a rock, and he has allowed me to trust in him. When he's gone, when the crisis is gone, we have made it, not because of us, but because of the faith we have in Christ Jesus. So whatever it is that we're going through, God says, I will be there with you. I will walk with you through your trials. I will walk with you through your fire. I will walk with you through your floods. You will see the effects of my presence with you. You will see my glory through Jesus Christ. Fanny Crosby penned these words as God hides you upon the cleft of rock. He hideth my soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. And the refrain says, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love. And covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. I don't know how you are experiencing this journey, but I want you to know that God understands. I don't know what you are going through right now, but there are those who are around us probably that may sometimes come in contact with someone who was compromised. I pray that the grace of God will be upon you and his hand will be upon you, that you'll be able to walk through, especially for our healthcare workers. Every morning we rise up, we lift you up in our prayers. Every morning, every evening, we thank God for you when you get home and we pray for your families. And for all of us, we just want to pray that God will continue to shield and shelter us as we go forward. Like Fanny Crosby, I want to serve God. Even in the blindness of the crisis, I want to see him through the eyes of faith. I pray that is your desire. And if there's anyone here, and I think Elder Kathy will elaborate on this, if there's anyone here who's going through this time and feels that you want to really reconnect with God, you want to reestablish your relationship, maybe you've never really given your life to God, you cannot say Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, this will be a good opportunity to give your life over to God. This will be a good moment in which you can ask God to protect you and have him reorder and rearrange your life so that you can have a lasting relationship with you. Ella Cathy at the end will explain how that can happen so that we can be able to journey with you through this moment and can be able to walk with you. May the Lord bless you through this day. May the Lord continue to keep you. May the Lord continue to watch over you and your families. And may the Lord continue to empower your walk with him. Be strong, as the Lord says, he will keep you on the cleft of his rock. I know all of us want to see his glory, but he says, I am there through Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity and this moment that you've shared with us. We thank you for your grace and for your love. We have come through the moment of this crisis asking for you to show us your glory. You've been very clear in your word, your face we may not be able to see, but you will place us on the cleft of the rock. And there you will allow us to see you as you pass by. And there we shall know that you are there even in the chaos and the crisis. I pray for a special anointing upon each one of us. I pray that you will keep each one of us safe. especially from this disease and this virus that is going around, that you will protect each one of us. I pray that you will watch over us as we await a time that we can gather back together and be able to fellowship with one another. Thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for allowing us to have a vibrant worship. And thank you for ministering to our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, children of God. May the grace of God continue to be with you. We love you. And most importantly, Jesus Christ loves you.
Amen. At this time, as we have our